Hello and welcome to Channels, the Next Flow podcast. You're joining us for episode 16 of the Channels podcast. And today I'm coming to you from Stockholm and my name is Phil Jules.
Hi, my name is Chris and today I'm joining you from Germany.
So we've got a special episode for you guys today. We've got two guests on. So we're gonna have a really interesting chat. We've got Matthias Hürtenhuber, see if I got your pronunciation of your name right, you'll correct me in a second, and Julia Mir-Pedrol, who are both working on the NF Core infrastructure, this NF Core community that works with Nextflow Pipelines. Matthias, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you work.
Hi, yes, Matthias, I'm also in Stockholm, a bit more central than Phil. I'm working for the SalaFlap data center, but as like a parasite to work for NF Core, actually full-time there.
And Julia?
Hi, so I'm Julia. I'm located in Germany, working in the Quantitative Biology Center in Tübingen, and I work on NF Core, also developing NF Core tools.
What's super cool about you guys, so the three of us work very closely together with the NF Core infrastructure team, doing all the stuff behind the scenes to make sure that all the wheels keep turning and everything. But what's really cool and a fairly new development with NF Core in the past kind of couple of years is that we're able, actually everyone on this call is able to work full-time on community efforts. So Chris and I work at Sekiro with the community team together with Marcel. You guys are also working actually dedicated resources and not just volunteer time, which is what the majority of NF Core is. So, Julia, you're the Chan Zuckerberg funding, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Matthias, we are helped out by the data center at SalaFlab.
Yes. And I guess the data driven life science initiative.
Yeah. Yeah, so massive hats off to everyone supporting the NF Core community. If it sounds interesting, we're always on the lookout for more more people keeping everything moving as we scale over time. Brilliant. Right, so let's get stuck in. We've got a couple of topics today. We're going to talk a little bit first about some schema stuff and validation in pipelines with some lovely new tooling coming your way soon. After that, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the NF Core kind of components and frameworks which you can use to build pipelines. But Chris, you're going to kick us off with some validation.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a little bit of background for people who might have been in the community for a while and this idea of validating sort of schemas and pipelines and inputs has been sort of floating around for a while. And sort of more recently, there's been a real drive to develop something called NF Validation, which is a plugin for Nextflow and for running pipelines. This is, like I said, this has been ongoing for quite some time. And I think, Phil, you were going to give us a little bit of background about sort of where this has come from, some of the people that have been involved in the early efforts, and sort of where we're at with this new development.
Yeah, so I guess this story starts kind of back in 2020-ish, right? I seem to remember sort of sitting in my freshly minted home office during the early days of COVID thinking about this. The problem we were trying to solve then is that Nextflow configuration parameters, they're very, very flexible. So when you run a pipeline, you do minus minus foo, and inside the Nextflow runtime, you have a special parameter called params.foo, which is populated with whatever you said. And this is kind of the power and flexibility of an Nextflow config, is you define the defaults in a config file and they're all kind of loaded on top of each other. And so it's really easy as a pipeline developer just to use these params variables, throw them into the workflow for logic, and it's super easy for end users to customize this and adjust the pipeline behavior. That's good. The downside is that they are so flexible that it's quite easy to go wrong with them. If you make a typo, then that new typo variable will be in the workflow. It won't be used, and the one you were aiming for will just take the default value, which is probably not what you wanted. And other stuff like validation of inputs is difficult. You have to write a lot of custom code to say, like, okay, the person submitted this, is it actually something that is going to cause the tool to crash or whatever? None of that is natively able to do natively in Nextplay config as of yet. So we sort of developed this concept of a schema based on JSON schema. And actually, I originally started this, might have been even earlier than 2020. I originally started this with Sven Fillinger, I think, at Cubic, who's one of the very early NF Core contributors. I remember he and I really getting confused about schemas of schemas of schemas. And
yeah, I actually dug a bit into the Slack history and found, yes, the channel Weblogs.
Weblogs.
This was the first mention of JSON schema in the Slack. And then, it looks like it started then with the London hackathon to really take off, where you built on the flight the GUI interface for it. So, it goes back not that far, but still quite far back.
Yeah, NF Core is quite new, I guess. So it's a comparative era. I'd forgotten that. That's good sleuthing. So we sort of started that, and it's been part of the NF Core community. But out of all the things we've built with the NF Core community, all the standards we've developed, it's one that sort of stands out to me as being, has really been picked up on. It's formed a backbone, and lots of other tooling and things have started building on top of it. And now I think most people developing with Nextflow assume, and it's sort of a standard piece of machinery, even though technically Nextflow doesn't know very much about it. It sort of surrounds Nextflow. It's not really part of core Nextflow, but it's become part of a core ecosystem. And so we took the decision a little while ago then to try and break this out of NF Core a little bit, because it works with any Nextflow pipeline. It's not NF Core specific. It's so generally usable. We want everyone to be using it. And so that's where this new plugin comes in. But before we get dug into that, maybe Matthias, you've been working with me on the schema for a long time. Can you give us a rundown of what is a JSON schema? What is a Nextflow schema? What are we talking about here?
Yes, so JSON schema, as it says, is a like a description for a JSON file. Actually, it doesn't need to be a JSON file anymore. We also have it now for YAML files, and it's like a kind of like a database schema. It tells you what it kind of expects, name-wise, but also type-wise. So there's some kind of, you can add some type checking and some other like finer things, but also very useful at description and help text. So we can generate documentation out of our JSON schema, which was actually how I came in, because I didn't want to write the parameter descriptions. So I pushed for having it automated and got through with it.
I'd forgotten that. We used to write a usage markdown file, didn't we, where we would manually go through every parameter, and if you missed one, then that was that. But now this is a structured format, so we can automate some of that.
Exactly. So yeah, because before we kind of relied still that part of the documentation should be on GitHub. And now we say, no, just use the website, and everything is on the website. And there we can render the JSON schema into a nice little web page.
Mm. Yeah. So how does, if someone's new to this and they've come along with their pipeline, how do they sit down with the text editor?
First of all, never touch the schema by hand. Always use the NF Core schema build interface for it, because we have some special flavors in it, and also it's just so much easier to write and to just manipulate things without breaking the whole schema, and then you don't know why your schema is suddenly not valid anymore. So leave your fingers from the schema, just let us handle it for you.
And what is the schema interface?
So if you do NF Core schema build in the CLI, it opens. Either you can do it on the command line, but actually, I would recommend to do it on the web interface, which opens. Which we cache on the website, so you can also even go back to your build process, and then you just have a form interface where you can add new parameters. Actually, we check for the parameters and to see if all the parameters are in the schema, and the other way around, if there are parameters in the schema, if we should drop them because we don't find them in the config. And yes, and then you just start describing what this parameter does, what you are expecting of this parameter, like which type, and yeah, can dig through it if you want to. And also group them. So if you have, like, for example, classic is the skip options, all the skip steps we usually group in one parameter group, and you just group that by drag and dropping it in the interface.
Nice. So maybe for anyone who's watching us with the screen, I'll talk through it as well. So it's a command line tool that you run. It scaffolds a base file based on the output from your Nextflow config automatically, checks for any discrepancies if you already have a schema, and then you offer the option of loading a web GUI, right? And I can do this with an empty one, but this is what you're talking about there.
This is exactly so. We also like to add icons based on Font Awesome icons to it, so it makes it a bit easier to scan, especially than in the generated Markdown file. Then you give it an ID, a description, which is like the short version, and then there's also help text, which is for larger things, and there you can actually use Markdown, so you can have tables and all these things to actually, like, really describe. And we have some very nice help text in some pipelines where it's always, like, good to test if how good our Markdown parsing is, because these pipelines can break our things there. And then yes, you give a specific type to this, which can be string, integer or number, or boolean, and you can give it a default value. You can say if it's required or if it's hidden. The hidden ones is usually more like the and of course specific ones where we don't really want the average user to interact with, but we kind of need them to run everything. But yes, and then you have, like, special in the settings, you can give enumerated values. So it's kind of like a set of values allowed for this, which is, for example, if an aligner, you can specify here all the aligner your pipeline actually has, star, bow tie, and so on. And with that, we check also, because there are many options, often we can specifically check, is it one of these options? And if not, we already fail without having to run the whole pipeline. You can also give it a regular expression pattern. So to if you want to, for example, storage, that it should be a number and then a unit. And then for a file thing, if you have, like, a file parameter, you can give the MIME type and even another schema. So you can nest schemas to validate or additional things along with it.
And what's cool is, as I'm clicking around on the interface here, for anyone who's not watching, it's like lots of tick boxes and text forms in a web form. You can see the JSON underneath being dynamically updated as we go along, and that's really the end product. And if I'd launched this from the command line interface, when I click finish, it would sync back and save this JSON file locally in the pipeline.
It is like a kind of weirdly nested JSON, so it's really not nice to write by yourself.
Yeah. Cool. So we use this for validation. You mentioned also that the pipeline documentation is based off this. The parameters tab, I guess, is the main one.
Exactly. So there you have all these things then nicely rendered, including the help text. And yeah.
And you've got all the icons on the sidebar there. and then the launch interface is the other one, I guess.
Exactly. So you get a lot of powerful tools out of this small little file we force you to write. Because makes a lot of things very easy.
I quite like this, that we built it originally for the validation, but then by sort of almost reverse engineering the file, you can sort of build all these other things. And also it's provided a platform for other things. So this is used by Nextflow Tower, it's used by Oxford Nanopore Epitome platform, probably others that I don't know about. It's very flexible.
Yes, and just shows also like the power of the schema, where as soon as you have some good regulatory things about a file, you can do so much more with the file because you know what to expect.
And one of the things I wanted to flag, this is the NF validation plugin, which Julia is going to tell us about in a second, but I have been promising to document what we've done with the schema for, well, since 2020. and pretty much you sort of had to look at other examples and figure it out yourself and then give up and ask Matthias or I or someone else in the community. But as of this week, if you go to this website, we'll share the link in the show notes. There is now a page here saying Nextflow schema specification, which actually takes you through how it's structured, what all this stuff is doing, how it works, what you can and can't do, and then also takes you through all the different keys. So, okay, type these. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. Because we do have some differences to the stock JSON schema, and we kind of highlight the non-standard keys which we use and things. So if you do end up looking at a file or building more specifically, if you end up building something on top of this file is the main time you might need to look in here, then there is now a spec. Cool. We need to not go into too much detail about this, but maybe Julia, you can tell us a little bit about NF validation. Also, I'd like to hear a little bit about Matthias mentioned in passing there that we have schema for files now as well. That's new, right?
Yes, exactly. So NF validation is this new plugin that we built based on the original NF core code for this parameter validation. And so as you were mentioning, it uses this schema file to validate the parameters in the config and also the parameters that the user provides when running the pipeline. And basically what it does is, now it has functions that you can easily include in your pipeline and use them. For example, we can use validate parameters, and this will validate all the parameters before the pipeline runs. So if there's something, for example, you needed to provide a file and you provided a different value, it will complain, will fail the run, and then will throw an error message so the user can fix that. And
I was just going to say, there's nothing worse than launching your workflow, waiting 6 hours or a day, and then finding out that you had a typo. Like, if you've made a mistake, you want to know about it straight away.
Been there, done that, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Those of us writing Nextflow pipelines for long enough remember the dark days. Sort of take it for granted now, I think. Sorry, carry on, Julia. I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. So I was going to talk about validating extra files. So now, as Matthias mentioned, you can have another schema inside the original Nextflow schema, and this is associated to a file. This schema can validate CSV, TSV, or YAML files. For example, it's very common that for running pipelines, you will have a sample sheet with all the input data about samples or input files. Then you can use this embedded schema to validate your input sample sheet, and it will validate every column. If you have a sample ID, it can validate that it's a string. If you are providing a file, the same as the Nextflow schema, you can validate that the pattern is correct, that the file exists.
And just one thing, this is a schema you actually need to write by yourself. We don't have yet the nice interface for this kind of schema. So, but it is usually a rather simple one-level schema. So you can copy-paste a lot of things. Yeah.
I think it's on the roadmap, right? We want to build something to help this. So yes. So let me go through this again, because this was a bit, we get into kind of a bit meta. We've got a schema for the parameters, which is the minus minus flags. And then within that schema, we, for certain parameters, can reference other schema files. So for example, for minus minus input, we say it's a string which is a format file path. And we now can also say schema, and we point to another schema file. And then within that other schema file, that's used to validate the past contents of that file. Did I get that right?
Exactly.
So now it's not just validating what I'm doing on the command line with the parameters, but it's also validating, did I mess up that CSV file? If I say it should be stranded or unstranded or reverse stranded, if I typed got the commas wrong and then gave it a file name instead, now it's going to tell me that straight away as well.
Yes. And hopefully it has also nice error messages that will tell you which line your error is and what's the problem, so you can easily fix it.
And so can you tell us a little bit about this plugin then? This is a fairly new feature. We're not really using this in any pipelines yet. What's the current state of play with NF Core pipelines for doing this process?
So, sorry, you mean...
So at the moment there's a check sample sheet process, right? So how is this mm-hmm. different to what we already have?
Okay. Yeah, so currently in, at least in NF Core pipelines, we have a module and a SOC workflow. I think we'll talk about this later, but so basically some processes that contain all the code to validate this sample sheet, and they read the file and like do this validation. So now, instead of having to import or modify this process, which also contains Python script, for example, for reading the file and validating it, this can be done more easily and with less code with using this schema.
Nice. And presumably now we're not launching a process to do this anymore, so we get that feedback much faster. It's like almost instant when you launch a pipeline, rather than if you're running on the cloud, you have to wait for a batch instance to spin up and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, super nice. And also,
if I was developing
Chris.
I was just going to ask, if I was developing a pipeline using NF validation, would I still need that check sample sheet process, or would I just be able to ignore that completely now?
In theory, you can ignore it completely. And actually, that's also a new feature that Nicolas implemented. And you can, so before this check sample sheet process was creating your input channel, because you want to read this input file and obtain all the information to create a channel and then work with it. So now with this NF validation, you can validate your file. And at the same time, you can create a channel which will contain your input files. And if you have meta information, you can create also a meta map with, for example, sample name or strandedness. And this is also automatically created using the information in the JSON schema.
I think this is huge. This is a new thing, right? I mean, like we've Chris and I, we've spent time with the Nextflow training trying to teach people about meta maps, like what they are and how to structure them. I guess it's for an input to a process. You want your input files or file, and then this is an object, right? It's like a groovy map. So, and it would typically pass that around with all the files, and it contains all the metadata for that sample. And it's useful then if you split out a sample over many processes and you want to bring them back together and make sure that the right, that, you know, it's just the file, all the different outputs for the same sample go together and stuff. But it's been quite complicated to do this. And I mean, both with that check sample sheet, like if you're a pipeline developer, you have to go in and you have to basically edit and create that whole massive script yourself in Python and figure that out. And we see bug reports coming in about that process a lot. But now it's a JSON file which we can lint, we can validate, we can check. Soon, hopefully, we'll have a builder, so you can just click and drag to create this JSON file, and then you just what was the usage? It's just like main.nf include from sample sheet from the plugin, and then you just do channel dot from sample sheet, and this is the what's this? When Julia, can you tell us what's happening here?
Yeah, so that's the string. It's the name of the parameter that you will use, or a user will use, to provide this sample sheet. So if you need to do next flow run, your pipeline, / input, then provide the sample sheet with this params.input. And that's what input means in that case.
Nice. Okay, so this is going into the Nextflow schema, looking up the input property, finding that schema file, then comparing it to the... God, it's going backwards and forwards a bit, but I guess for the developer and for the end user, you don't need to care about that so much. And then, pretty cool. And then this is the schema for that. And we just tag which field should be for the meta. Yeah, I think this is going to be a massive thing. So how do people get started? Where are we with all this? If Chris wants to go and build a pipeline tomorrow using this, it's a genuine question.
So now that we have this nice documentation, there's the how to start. So basically you will just need to add the plugin in your Nextflow configuration. So say that you want to use the NF validation plugin and provide the version. And that's it. This will be installed together with Nextflow. And then in your pipeline main.nf, you can import the functions that you're going to use. So with this, include validate parameters or include from sample sheet, for example, from your plugin. And then you can directly use these functions in your pipeline.
Super cool.
And I guess, like, depending when the future past of this podcast is, this will be part of the template, NF Core template as well. So you actually don't even need to add this. It's just there.
Yes. Yeah. If you are using the NF Core template, it will be there, but it can also be used for any Nextflow pipeline.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So it's going to strip a lot of code out of the NF Core template, presumably.
Yes.
That's what we like. Keep it as lightweight as possible. And also, hopefully, this will encourage people outside of the NF Core ecosystem to get involved, because there's no NF Core here. This is now its own thing. It's kind of, it's grown up and moved out to its own apartment. Awesome. And I'm just noticing, I'm looking at the quick start page here on the homepage for the plugin, and realize we forgot also that there's these functions help and summary log as well. Which, if you've ever run an NF Core pipeline, the output will be familiar, I guess. But this is again, it's doing what we were saying, Matthias, about building off the schema then, and to provide kind of documentation and help. Very cool. Right. Did I miss anything on the schema and validation?
That's pretty good.
It's such a nerdy topic, but I get like unjustifiably excited about it. I just see the possibilities of all the cool stuff we can build on top of this. Like, you know, especially with the sample sheet stuff, I think this is the beginning. And hopefully we'll find many more helper tools come up off the back of this.
Yeah, I'm also like looking forward to where else we can have like a schema inside our schema. So it's not just like the sample sheets, but maybe, yeah, even more things can be validated.
Feel like there's going to be some entries into the NF Core memes Slack channel off the back of this episode. Right.
I was. I do have one more question. If I was looking for help, where would I find that? Is there a new Slack channel, or is this going to be purely on GitHub?
Yeah, there's the GitHub repo, but there's also a Slack channel called NF Validation, and it's in NF Core and also.
Yeah, it's a shared channel between Nextflow and NF Core.
Cool, fantastic.
I also wanted to give a shout out to, I mean, Julia, you've worked a lot on this plugin. Matthias, you've worked a lot on the website. I've been kicking around this stuff for years, and I mentioned Sven at the start. Also, you guys both chickened out. Well, you chickened out, Julia, just using his first name. Nicholas here. I'm not going to. He's been doing a lot on this plugin, especially recently. Big shout out to Nicholas for that. And the original work on the plugin was started by Kevin, who was your predecessor at Cubic, right? It was him who really kicked off this effort to bring the code out of the NF Core template and into a plugin. So it's a real, like everything with NFCore, it's a real team effort, a real collaboration. We've got, you know, Germany, Belgium, Sweden, a global effort.
On a very small globe.
Yeah, okay. Cool, right. Let's keep moving, otherwise we're going to be here all day. More NFCore goodness. We can validate our parameters. What else are you gonna tell us about today, Matthias? Lead us in here.
Yes. So one thing which basically kicked off with DSL2 and actually also started off Jason Schema discussion on the Slack channel I saw was that you can actually now have processes isolated into shareable units, and we call these modules. And basically a module should be one command, and you then can just easily share this between different websites, because like FastQC, many NFCore pipelines use, and you don't actually need to always write the same like script thing there. You can just import it as kind of like in a package manager fashion, just install it with NFCore. So NFCore modules install FastQC means it's downloaded, and you also get provided the string you need to include into your main.nf to import it to Nextflow, and then you just give it the input and the output and it runs. So that is like the fast look through it, and I'm a bit surprised how fast people write these modules, because we started it, I think, a year and a half ago, for real, I think. And now we have more than 900 modules. And it's scary. But we, of course, also have a nice web interface to look for modules. So if you go to NFCore module, nf-co.re/modules, you come to a nice site which shows you that we have now 939.
I'm going to cheat here. So this is a current live website, but I'm going to cheat and I'm going to use the preview of a new website, because Rich, we're going to talk about this in another episode, right?
Yes, Matthias, and there you see this build is, I think, 3 days old, and we already added 7 new modules there. But yeah, and what you then can see there is basically a quick overview, and also in which pipelines they are used. So you can kind of reverse engineer your way through different pipelines to, and also if you go now to a pipeline page, you see which modules they use. So if you're interested in...
You're going to have to tell me where to look. I haven't done this from the pipeline page.
It should be there in the sidebar, maybe not in this build, sorry for that. That will be a feature in the new website. So it's the new website is really hot off the press. Yeah. But yeah, if you go then to the module, you have a nice description of the different values, and like the input, the output, and which tool is used, with links to documentation. Also, input and output have types and descriptions, and as you can guess, this is because there's a JSON schema behind it, which validates this. These kind of things are there. Also, that every one has a nice keyword, so you can search for it. And and with that, we can build again the documentation, so it's easy to figure out how to use these modules. And also, you see on the top, the install command is quite straightforward. Here, it's a tool with a subtool. So if a tool has several commands, we have them in folders, so you need to write it with slash. Sometimes it's then written with underscore if you then actually call it. If you just run this NFCore modules install apricate slash run, you get it inside the modules folder in your pipeline, and you can just use it.
And this is pipeline developers who are running this command, right? It's not the end user who's ever going
to... Exactly. You as an end user don't need the modules. It's really just helping pipeline development to very similar to NF Core, where it says you don't need to write the same pipeline again and again. Yes, you don't need to write the same call for software again and again, because we have infrastructure for that to make it easier. And also, all of these have tests, so we also make sure that they actually run. We don't version them by number, but you can also install a specific version of a module using the git char. So, and just quickly, the reason for that is because it might be that our version number is not the same as the module, especially if there is like several programs which you need to run one module, then it's difficult to say which version number it is. So we chicken that and say, okay, yeah, use this long git char instead if you need to install it. And it's just the same install command, but -- char and then the actual hash there.
And at the end of the day, what I'm looking at the source code for this module here, it's just Nextflow code, right? I mean, it's just a process.
To write a module is basically, if you know how to write Nextflow pipelines, you know how to write a module.
Very cool. Nice. And so presumably this helps people collaborate on processes. And I guess if you're a developer writing a pipeline, then it means you just take off the shelf components basically.
Yes, and we have some some commands for this and NF Core tools. So for modules, you can do, for example, list to show you all the modules and the CLI. But you can also get specific information for one by NF Core modules info and then the module name, and then you get basically what we have on the website rendered in the CLI if you don't want to go back and forth, or if you and to just get a quick overview, what are the inputs, what are the outputs, how to include this command.
Nice.
Yes, and the other tools commands for modules is that you can create the test. So we help you creating a minimum test with it, and you can also lint it. Where one of the validation steps is that the meta YAML there follows our JSON schema.
Yeah. So I get there's a couple of concepts, isn't there? There's Nextflow modules, which is the DSL idea, which can be pretty much anything. It's just importing any number of processes. And then there's our NF Core super strict one tool per process. You must have linted code that does all this stuff, but means facilitates that collaboration. Cool. I should. It's a good point, Chris. I should show where the documentation is for the tools. So if we go to nfcore/tools, this is gonna also look different. I'm not brave enough to try it on the deployment preview because I haven't looked at it for a while. But this is the current live site. If we go down to nfcore modules on nfcore/tools.
Yes. One cool command I need to mention is nfcore modules patch. Mm-hmm. Which is if you want to have a slightly different thing in the module, but you don't want to actually add it to because you know it's just really for your weird pipeline you have, you can patch the module. And even though you patch it, you can still update it. So whenever somebody updates it, when you run the command, you actually get also the linting command, you get listed which modules are out of date, and you can update your patched module. So that we update it and then apply the patch again, so your changes should survive even updates of a module. And that's really, really nice thing, I think, also from Kevin, if I remember correctly.
Me actually.
Okay. Yeah, but that makes the modules even more useful, because like even though they are shared, you can still have your own small flavor variation of it.
Yeah, I think I started it. I think Kevin might have been involved. Also Eric, I think, yes, wrote quite a lot. He probably wrote the difficult stuff. I come in and take the glory. Brilliant. And also, it reminded me looking at this page about how powerful that update command is, because if I'm a pipeline developer, I write my pipeline, I publish it, and when I come, you know, I get distracted on another project, I come back 6 months or a year later, and all that software I'm using has been updated, all those authors pushing all their open source. I can just run nfcore modules --update --all, and it's going to, other people in nfcore will have been updating these shared modules, and I can just pull them all in. That's so cool. Right.
Yes.
Julia, what? Take us past, or sorry, Chris, you're unmuted. Are you going to say something?
No. I'm good. I'm a massive fan of the update and the patch functions. Just such a lifesaver and saved me so much time when I am developing a pipeline or just wanting to make a little tweak to a module. I'm really glad that came up because I can't speak enough about them because I think they're just fantastic.
Well, it's good to have a fan. Julia, kick us off. What's new? Take us past modules.
Yes. So the next step after modules is sub-workflows, which is basically a chaining of different modules. And it's like between a module, which is like more complicated than a module, but smaller than a pipeline. And it works very, very similar to modules. We added this in NFCore during the last year hackathon in October. And again, there are already several sub-workflows added to NFCore. And we also have a template, so it's easy to create a new sub-workflow and add it to NFCore.
43 sub-workflows, is that right, Matthias? I didn't realize we had
If you go to the table view, you get a quicker overview of how many there are. And it's quite a lot. Wow.
Sorry, Julia, I was just taken by surprise when I was screen sharing. Go on.
So they are very useful because sometimes several pipelines can share. So just to give easy examples, if you want to do an alignment against a reference genome, maybe you want to index your reference genome, then do the alignment, and then sort the output. And this would be three different modules. But every pipeline will have to use the three different modules. But if you have it in a sub-workflow, it's just including this sub-workflow and using one sub-workflow. And so, for example, for variant calling, Zarek and Rare Disease, which are two NFCore pipelines, share some sub-workflows for variant calling.
And I noticed this one here is BAM Mark Duplicates Picard. So it's containing Mark duplicates, then also SAMTools index, SAMTools stats, SAMTools IDX stats, and SAMTools flag stats, a bunch of QC. And that's being used by three pipelines.
Yes, and I guess here it's also a nice thing. It's actually a nested sub-workflow because we have then a sub-workflow which is SAMTools sort and, no, SAMTools index and then sort and stats. We like nesting things into each other. So
a pipeline with a sub workflow with a sub workflow with a module with a process. That's starting to make my head hurt. but I guess the point is, most people, you don't need to think about this. You just, if you're a pipeline developer, you say, I want this chunk of process, here it is, install. Don't need to think about what's inside necessarily, just need to plug in the input and the output. Very cool.
And that's actually handled by this install. It will install all the modules that you don't have, and the same for update. If you install a new sub-workflow and you need to install or update modules, it will do it automatically.
Amazing. Okay, so I'm looking at the source code for a sub-workflow, and again, it's just an XFlow file, and we're including, so it looks like I'm writing a pipeline here. I'm including some modules. And I've got a workflow chunk here, which is taking some inputs, running those processes, and then presumably emitting some outputs down at the bottom here. Very cool.
Yeah, so, sometimes the only difference between the sub workflow and the pipeline is that you don't run multi-QC at the end, it feels like.
But that's great. I mean, because within NFCore especially, it's useful for us because we have this kind of requirement that we have one process per data type or analysis type. But then, you know, so you can have maybe two pipelines with quite different functionalities or different purposes, but the guts of it will be quite similar. So it's really nice that we don't have to duplicate that. And also, I guess, I mean, there's lots of people out there who might be interested in using NF Core pipelines but want to customize them for their own use. And so if kind of 80% of a given pipeline is actually shared sub-workflows, then I guess we can, it's a really fast way to build off what the community is putting together. Chris, you look like you're going to say something.
Yeah, I have another question. But as a developer, is there anything that you know, we need to know? Are there any new commands or anything that will really change in relation to sort of introducing this into your pipeline using the NF Core tooling?
Not really. You just replace the modules command with sub workflows. So it's NF Core sub workflows install.
All the commands are the same. It's just sub workflows rather than modules. So I don't have to learn a whole new set of commands for using sub workflows.
It's just a very long command. That's the only problem we have with it, or I have with it, because it's also like one you always mistype.
Mm-hmm. Set up some aliases. I noticed as well, I'm looking at the documentation here for NF Core tools, and we've got the different sub workflows commands here. And there's a section here saying private remote repositories. And does anyone want to just quickly talk us through what's happening here? Julia, go on.
So in case you need to add a module or a workflow that it's not in NF Core and you don't want to add it to NF Core, or maybe you have some different things, and you can use your own repository and have your own modules and sub workflows in a different repository, and then using the same NF Core tooling, but just specifying with an argument where is your, or which is your repository. You can use the same tooling, but hosting your components there.
And if I remember correctly, this is a big effort. We got a lot of help from Arthur. Yes. There. So thank you and shout outs there.
Yeah, many more as well. This goes back a while. So, and then this example here in the docs, I mean, this isn't even GitHub. This is saying Git remote, and it's pointing at a GitLab instance here, which is super cool. And I can imagine mini communities budding off here, almost like, I've got my company and we maintain our own private workflows, which we can't share. I'm going to have my own, repository of modules and sub workflows, which we can share internally. Can you mix and match that private repo with the central one, or do you have to pick one or the other?
You can use different ones for modules and sub workflows, but for example, for sub workflows, you can cannot have different repositories. Different modules in different repositories used by the same sub-workflow. So if the sub-workflow is NF Core, all its included components are NF Core. If the sub-workflow is a private repository, all the components are from this private repository.
That makes sense, but still.
And I think you need to be careful with how you name your folders in the repositories, right, Julia?
Yeah, so some weird things may happen if the names are, for example, if you call your folder NF Core because it's the same name as the one we have in NF Core, some things break.
We just have a strong claim on this name, so sorry, you can't use it for your sub workflows.
And that. Matthias, you say here, should we explain the naming schema? Is that what you're talking about here, or did you mean something else?
No, if you go back to the listing of all sub workflows, you might see that they are a bit weird sometimes. because we kind of sat together at the last hackathon and tried to figure out a way how to have like a consistent way to name these sub workflows, because with the name, it would be good to kind of figure out what this Subworkflow is doing without having to actually look at the website or look through it. So
you can't expect anyone to read the documentation, can you?
Exactly, nobody reads it. So what we came up with, and at the end of the long discussion, is that it should follow kind of this format, and I hope I get it correctly, that the first part is the input file.
Okay, so we've then, got BAM. Yep.
Yes. And then what it is doing.
Okay, so tumor normal somatic variant calling.
And then which tools it is using. If I, I'm not 100% sure about the okay. order there, okay. but I think that's, we have it in the documentation how it should be called, but just to kind of help explain this convoluted names sometimes, and sometimes the most difficult thing about DSL2 Subworkflows is to find an and of course Subworkflows is to find a name for them, because you need to combine all these things.
It's a general problem in all software,
yeah, naming
right?
things is the difficult most difficult thing in computing.
Sure. Nice. And I just clicked here, I went onto the NF Core website, I've clicked docs, and there's a section down here saying DSL2 modules and also DSL2 Subworkflows, and I can see there's a lot of documentation written up here about and tutorial material really taking through all.
Yes, and if you go down to the new Subworkflow guidelines, you should have the naming scheme there.
Look at this, very organized.
Yeah, naming conventions. Yes, there it is.
Great. So people can really
file type operation tool. That's the way to write this name.
Yeah. Brilliant. Cool. Have we missed anything on NF Core components? Is anything that's around the corner, or any cool features we haven't touched on, or everyone's satisfied?
Well, mention maybe that for now in the current website, the Subworkflows are not yet listed. That is a new feature which comes with the new website, and I think NF Core submodules are Subworkflows test and. Which one is not working yet? And lint. Exactly. These two subcommands are not yet fully working.
Work in progress. Cool. Right. We are talking way too long. I've underestimated how much there would be to talk about on these topics, but I don't want to skip anything, because I think this is really cool stuff. But maybe we should sort of move on, and we'll just touch on a couple of our regular things at the end. Chris, do you want to tell us about any new content that's come out in the community that people should check out?
I think just very quickly, we'll do a little bit of a throwback to this blog post on the Nextflow site from the 26th of May, which is about improving the effectiveness of your pipelines on HPC. I think this is a really nice post with a nice little bit of background about HPC systems, and also offering some tips about how you can use Nextflow to run your pipelines more effectively on these. So I think this is a really nice example of something that's sort of halfway sort of between potentially docs and a tutorial. It's got some really good advice there, and some examples of how you can set this up if you are running an HPC system locally. So if you know about that already, I think this came out on the 26th of May, yep, right at the top there. And it's a really nice read. It's only sort of about 10 minutes to flick through that. And I'd really recommend that if you have time, or if you're more interested in that as well.
Anyone listening without seeing the picture there, this is on the Nextflow website, and it was called Nextflow on Big Iron, right? That's the headline.
Yes, 12 tips for improving the effectiveness of pipelines on HPC clusters.
That's the Big Iron. Is that like, I think it's like Gordon was saying, and he's been kicking around on HPC for a long time. It went over my head a little bit, but
yeah, I didn't know about it either. But it is a thing. I looked it up. Yeah. I did look it up.
It's nice to see it. So I mean, we talk about cloud a lot these days, but obviously, well, not obviously, but it's definitely true that probably the majority of our community are running with HPC. It's certainly how lots of people come to Nextflow in the first place, even if they have one eye on using the cloud in the future. It's nice to see some new content coming out like this, which is fresh. And reading through this, it sort of, you know, gave me a reminder of just how insanely compatible Nextflow is with just everything, you know. Yeah, it's a good deep dive, that one.
Yeah, I agree. I think it really shows you as well how Nextflow can do the heavy lifting for you. You don't need to think about setting up special commands locally to design your sort of run command in a pipeline. It's all there with a few different scopes. You can have it set up quite quickly and effectively. But yeah, so like I said, it's a really nice read, especially if you are just starting out trying to set Nextflow up on your local HPC.
Nice. Great. And then we were talking about whether there's any new NF Core sort of pipelines and things which would be worth mentioning. I wanted to give a shout out to the folks working with Microscopy pipelines. There's definitely been an uptick in interest of using Nextflow for data analysis for imagery for Microscopy. And there's a few pipelines which are in the works at the moment. So if that's the kind of thing you're interested in that you work on, then please jump in, because this is a sort of a budding new kind of, talked about sub workflows. This is a sub community. We're starting to sort of gather some critical mass there, which is really exciting to see. I know we were messing around last night. There's a new pipeline being proposed for molecular cartography, so it's going to be called Molcart. And some nice AI generated imagery with a certain Italian plumber. let's go. Brilliant. Chris, any events we should look out for on our calendar?
Unfortunately, we'll be hitting the bite-sized summer break at the moment. As this podcast is airing, there's a bit of a break just in the European summer because a lot of people are away, but we're picking up those bite-sized seminars again soon. And of course, they're always on YouTube if you do even want to go back and look at any of the previous bite sizes as well. Always, we mentioned
I was just going to say, we just had, so this is confusing for us because we're recording, we're being quite organized. But so for us, you're about to give a bite-sized talk, Julia, but by the time anyone listens to this, it's already happened. So if you didn't get enough schema for your breakfast today for your podcast, you can have more on the NF Core bite size series. Sorry, Chris, I interrupted you.
That's okay. Coming up as well, as we always mention, we've got the Barcelona and the Boston hackathons and summits. The hackathon and summit are happening in Barcelona on October 16-20, and in Boston on 16th to the 20th of October, and the Boston Hackathon and Summit is November 28th to 30th. With both of those events, with the summits, I think the abstracts for registration and abstract submissions are open, and you can start submitting those through the websites as well. Something else we'll have in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm off the top of my head, so I might be wrong, but I have a feeling we're planning to launch registration the same day that this podcast airs, possibly.
I think so. If it's not out now, it'll be out very soon.
See, we're feeling ambitious now, but
We'll set ourselves a deadline.
We've said it now, so it's got to happen. So yeah, very excited to see that come together and meet much of the community in person and with an online component as well. Brilliant. Right, we should wrap up. Thank you so much for your time, everyone. Matthias and Julia, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm keen to get you back. There's more to talk about.
We'll be back.
Sort of like dangled this preview of the new website and things like that. So there's some tantalizing goodies coming around the corner as well. So maybe in a few months' time, we'll get you back on the podcast to go into some of those other cool things. Yeah, otherwise, everyone who's listening, thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope you join us again in another couple of weeks for the next episode. Thanks.